This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
On the latest episode of The Other Side, it's Ultimate Bullshit or Believe It, Part 2.
We look back on the stories of high strangeness from the past year and decide conclusively which ones we call bullshit and which ones we declare believe it.
To subscribe to The Other Side, go to patreon.com/Bigfoot Collectors Club.
This is one you're not going to want to miss.
It's Bigfoot Collectors Club with Bryce and Michael. I know a ghost story or two. Let's do this.
Welcome back, everybody, to a brand new episode of Bigfoot Collectors Club, the show where we talk to amazing guests about their personal paranormal history and share stories of high strangeness. I'm your host, Michael McMillan. With me always is your other host,
Bryce Johnson.
And our super producer, Riley Bray, is with us in spirit today. You'll be hearing his music. But as we record this, Riley and Nova the dog are off in the woods getting a little escape from human civilization. So maybe he'll find Bigfoot while he was away. Maybe he'll get abducted by a UFO. But he's probably just getting a little R&R. But we'll miss you, Riley, and we'll see you soon. He'll be back next week, in next week's episode. Instead of Riley, we have, some awesome guests today, because today we are digging back into the L files. That's right. We are reading your paranormal stories that you sent in to us. And if you have a spooky story you'd like to share, please email us at BigfootCollectorsClub@gmail.com. Here to investigate this stack of L files, we've brought in two former guests who know their way around creepy stories. From the podcast Teen Creeps, please welcome back to the clubhouse Lindsay Katai and Kelly Nugent.
Yeah!
Yay!
Hi there.
What's up, ladies?
What's up, dudes?
Together again for the first time in the Bigfoot Collectors Club.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Ladies, before we get started, I must ask you, we just went through the spooky season. Lindsay, last time you were on the show, we were talking about, the Haunting of Hill House, which I loved, the classic novel. Have you guys read any good books lately? Any good scary books that our readers should know about?
Have we read anything
good? A lot
good?
Of bad ones.
Yeah, dude.
Good, bad also counts. I mean, nothing but watch trashy 80s movies all October long, so that's fine.
Okay, if you want schlock. Okay. Wait, Lindsay, did we release this episode yet?
We've released all episodes recorded thus far.
Okay. This will be out on November 11th.
Then we're solid. Okay. Mm-hmm. What's that book that we just read that was like, girls, if you have a stalker, don't worry.
That would be Crazy for You, spelled
K-R-A-Z-Y. Four.
It's crazy with a K.
The number four, you, just the letter U. The moral of that story is, girls, if you have a stalker, do not worry, because he will actually save you from a killer. And if you just tell him, I think of you as a brother, he'll be like, okay.
He'll be like, okay, I don't feel that way, but I'll let you feel that way.
Yeah.
Since
you're
giving me the sister vibes, it's cool.
Yeah.
Also, the killer is your brother.
The killer is your actual brother.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Just so much. I just love that each one of these books I hear you guys talk about is just really the backstory for a future tale about a woman with a massive amount of trauma in her life.
100%. Yeah.
Like, they're all like what not to do stories. Mm-hmm. But
I mean, it's easy to get through a bad movie or a TV show, but getting through a bad book, that seems like a lot of work. How does that fare?
You know, it is a lot of work.
It is. It's a lot of work. And we read three, like, 50 stories a year.
they're pretty short, but we are, yes, as Kelly said, reading a book a week. And so it's a lot.
That's insane. Wow.
Listen, some are bangers, but you're not gonna get a banger every week, unfortunately.
Right, yes, totally.
That's true.
Hands down, what is the best YA series of all time?
Oh, series?
Like good or bad. Like, you know, like your Sweet Valley High or your, you know, Babysitter's Club or whatever your spooky version
okay,
of that
okay.
is.
Okay. I have two answers. You go first, Kelly.
Okay. Serious answer for like actual like really good YA, it's actually modern YA, and it's by Kirsten White, and it's the End I Darken series, which is like historical fiction, but she flips Vlad the Impaler to a girl who is Lada the Impaler, and it's kind of like exploring like what would push a person to become an impaler, like what would push someone to be so fucked up that they would like. And so it's basically just like, do you like people with unhealthy toxic relationships and like dad's never gonna approve of me issues? Great, this is a book for you. And then like legit, honestly, most amazing is Sweet Valley High, because like I feel like Sweet Valley High has the most like villainous main characters that you're supposed to root for. Because like, what was the one we did most recently, Lindsay, where they went to a spa and they were like, but how could that person own a spa? She's so ugly. And you're supposed to
she's
be
like
yes.
10 pounds overweight and has like a droopy eye.
And she's so old. She's 30. So it's like, it's very, those are my favorite.
Yeah, a lot of prejudice in those books.
Absolutely.
I thought you were talking about like villains you love to hate, but it's actually the lead
character. The main characters. The absolute villains.
No. Yeah. The Wakefield twins are, in fact, monsters.
My God.
But my favorite series is Christopher Pike's Last Vampire series.
Oh,
yeah.
I brought that up. I can't remember if you brought that up on that. Maybe in your top five.
It's very possible. Yeah, I think I listed at least one of those.
Oh, fantastic. Well, that is a pocket of pop culture that I still haven't done a real deep dive on. So maybe I'll pick up that Vlad the Impaler one. The Lot of the Impaler one sounds really cool, actually.
It's so heartbreaking. It's so good. Like, if you want your heart broken at every turn, read it.
Great.
It's good.
If you want your heart literally broken, right? Isn't it? Yeah. Do you get impaled up through the rectum, through the mouth? Or are they stabbing you?
I think how do you impale somebody?
Kind of wherever.
I think they used to ram them up their rectums.
Boy's choice. I'm looking up how do you impale someone.
Yeah.
While you're Googling that, I did mention that this came out, this episode will come out on November 11th, which of course is 11/11. And that number, so that number sequence holds a lot of significance for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Have any of you guys, Bryce included, ever had like an 11/11 moment?
Yeah, I have them all the time. I mean, I feel like maybe it's just because I'm aware of it. So it's like, you know, you're just aware of it. But yeah, I see 11/11 on the clock quite frequently. I don't know what that means. It's supposed to be a sign of synchro mysticism or something like that. But it's definitely interesting.
Lindsay,
what
about you? Any synchronicity 11/11 moments in your life? Is it supposed to be scary?
I don't think it's scary.
Honestly, I answered that way to be funny.
Yeah.
I did not think it was actually going to be spooky.
Don't people make wishes?
Yeah, I think so. I think they make wishes on 11/11. So yeah, so it's like a sign of good luck if you see it, or some people, you know, kind of think of it as like, ooh, the veil is thin, almost like at 3 a.m., you know. But yeah, so it's like one of those weird numbers, which is quite often associated with mysticism.
I tend to see it when I feel like I'm experiencing other synchronicity going on at the same time. Like, oh, I was just thinking about this song and it's playing on the radio. Or, you know, I mentioned somebody that I haven't seen for a long time and I run into them at the grocery store, that kind of stuff, you know? Or sometimes I'll be listening to a song and like the word yellow, maybe it's Coldplay, I don't know. But then like a yellow cab will drive by and I'll be like, whoa, right? And I'm reading the word yellow on the yellow cab just as they're singing it on the song, like something like that. You know
what
I mean? I
had something happen literally right before I sat down to do this.
Come on.
Yeah,
this is perfect.
I was carrying
synchronicity.
Yeah, I was carrying I was eating out on the balcony my dinner, and I was carrying a plate in and it had a steak knife and a fork on it. And I picked it up, and then my husband said, oh, watch out, because the knife kind of turned. And then people walking by, there was a dad and a son, and the dad said, you're going to cut your thumb.
Oh, weird. Ooh.
To the kid. Not because he couldn't see me.
That's very weird. Yes, that's perfect. That's a synchronicity.
Yeah.
I have the closest I can think to that is maybe like 10 years ago, just decided one day, you know what, I'm finally going to read the bell jar. And I read it, and then I get to the end of the book, and it's like giving the little like Sylvia Plath biography, and it turned out to be the anniversary of her suicide.
Whoa.
And I was like, and I literally threw the book across the room. I was like, get thee away.
Yeah, auspicious. Wow. Yeah.
So I see 11/11 a lot when stuff like that's going on frequently. Like if I'm having a week where that's happening, I notice it every time I look over the clock is 11/11. And I've always thought like that's a sign that like, okay, I'm in a rhythm. I'm in a good groove, you know, like I'm harmonizing with everything. And then, you know, I'm on the right path. That's what I always thought. But it's all, you know, who knows? It's all just probably like, you know, you look at the clock twice a day and see 11/11. It's not that mysterious.
Well, it's interesting that it comes at like auspicious moments for you.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting though is I've kind of think of it like, you know how sometimes you don't need an alarm to actually wake yourself up? Like you'll actually wake up at, you know, if you wake up at 6:50 a.m. every day, you could forget to set your alarm and you'd still wake up at 6:50 a.m. So I think sometimes when you become aware of these numbers, your mind can even track throughout the day, and then you'll find yourself glancing, oh my God, 11/11, you know?
Yeah,
and you'll do it again. So it's like almost like you're in tune with time and space in a strange way. But I think the more you recognize that number, the more you're going to start to see it.
I feel like this is where Riley would step in and go, yeah, that's true, but also, you know, confirmation bias.
Confirmation bias. That was the word.
Confirmation bias,
right?
Yeah.
So I feel like you could throw out that term at literally any time, like in a debate. Like, you're like, but on the other hand, confirmation bias.
Confirmation bias.
Like, and that's why Clear Pepsi didn't work.
Yeah. God, remember that ad. Van Halen right now. That was a big moment on Canaan Lane where I grew up. My neighborhood, we were very excited for that Clear Pepsi.
Clear Pepsi was the shit. And then it was like, what is this?
Crystal. Wasn't it called Crystal Pepsi?
Crystal Pepsi. Yeah,
it's Crystal
Pepsi.
Yeah.
Even better.
So 80s.
Yeah. Crystal. Maybe I'm too old for this, but I remember old Coke, and then they brought out new Coke, and people were pissed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, so when they had to switch back to the old formula, it then became Coca-Cola Classic.
Classic.
Love that.
Because didn't it taste bad?
It did. It tasted like Pepsi, right?
So it's
like
Pepsi was winning the taste challenges.
They moved closer to like a sweeter instead of that kind of crisp Coke that everybody loves. People were pissed.
Pepsi had a rad ad campaign. We're going off on a tangent here, but Pepsi had a rad ad campaign with like, They had Michael Jackson. They had Michael J. Fox. It was the choice of the new generation. It was like the punk soda. It was like, Coke sucks. Pepsi's cool. Mm-hmm. And then they tried new Coke to compete with that, and everybody hated it.
Wow.
And so, you know.
But I feel like it did make everybody double down on liking classic Coke. Almost like, well, I put up such a big fuss that now I'm like a fucking Cokehead and not in the drug way.
I fucking love Coke.
I'm dedicated to my Coca-Cola Classic. Yeah. Finally, it's back.
My dad used to have those little taste tests with us where he'd get the little Dixie cups and we'd do like RC Cola and Tab. And
oh my God, fun.
And it was so much fun. And, you know, we'd blindfold each other and you know.
That's see, what you guys would do instead of going to church when you were at his house. There was no church.
Yeah, that was our church.
Did you get, Kelly, did you get any answers?
I was just about
impaling?
To jump in because I was going to say, speaking of tangents, you can be impaled at like pretty much dealer's choice. So there's many different ways that you can be impaled. Like one of them, okay, I am like seeing some very disturbing images on Wikipedia right now.
I believe
there's
that.
Longitudinal impalement, which is like along the body length.
Sure.
So like up the boob through the body. And then there's through the heart, like what you were saying. So there's those are actually separate.
I hope there is also latitudinal.
Oh, like just through the
like
tummy,
just across your little tum. Yeah,
I think that's transversal. So transversal impalement is frontal to dorsal, so it goes from the front to the back.
Well, I ask for justice for the word latitudinal.
Latitudinal.
If longitudinal gets to be in the game, why not latitudinal?
Maybe because it's harder to say.
Also, there's a lot of variations. So you know what? If you want to do a lot of research on impalement, there's a lot out there for you.
Email me that link. I'll throw it up in the show notes. How's that?
Literally. Okay, I will. It's a Wikipedia article.
Great. That's easy. It's easy to do.
Ellie the Google Queen strikes again.
Listen, I'm really good at Googling. Well, I literally Googled, how do you impale someone?
You got to be careful. I feel like some videos you do not want to see would come up.
Yeah, no, there's a video how to. I'll pass.
Well, speaking of reading things that we found on the internet, you guys sent in your listener stories. These are your paranormal stories. And we're going to kick things off. Dig into the L-Files right now. Bryce, why don't you kick it off?
Let's do it. This one's called Short Orb Story. Hello. Me and a friend of mine were on a group walking tour in Rome around 2014 and experienced something strange. We had stopped to take a break, so me and my friend took a seat on a small wall in the shade behind the Pantheon. I was sitting there looking around.
Behind the Pantheon.
So casually throwing that out.
Oh, Charlonda, meet me behind the Pantheon.
I think that's the name of this episode, Behind the Pantheon.
When all of a sudden, a glowing orb the size of a tennis ball flew by about 2 feet in front of my face. It was perfectly round and moving very fast. If it was moving any faster, I don't think I would be able to make out the shape of it. I was startled, and I started to look around to see if anyone else in the group saw this, but no one else was reacting to it until I turned to my friend sitting next to me when he looked at me with a shocked look on his face and said, "Did you see that?" When we tell people, they say it was probably just the sun reflecting off of something. Confirmation bias. No, I'm just kidding.
Sounds like confirmation bias.
Yeah. But this wasn't something that hit us in the eyes. It was clearly a couple feet in front of us and perfectly round. Well, that's it. Hope you guys are doing well. Steven. Wow. Yeah. Hey, man. Orb. You saw an orb. Let's just call
a
spade
a
spade.
Tennis ball. That's like, so you're not going to mistake that for like a bug.
No, that's big.
Yeah. Never
Firefly with a big
orb.
Ass.
They got some thick fireflies in Rome.
Yeah. Out by the Pantheon.
Have you guys ever heard of orbs or ever seen any strange orb-like lights or anything like that?
No.
No.
As a kid and teenager, I was obsessed with, like, I was fascinated with just orbs.
Oh, really?
Just, like,
the shape.
You know, I loved spherical just balls. Like if you go to like a Pottery Barn or something and they have a display of just like decorative spheres, I'd be like, I need.
You were into that.
It like as if I thought everything was a crystal ball or something.
Totally.
Like Jareth in Labyrinth, David Bowie's character spinning
the hard into that.
Exactly. That's probably what did it.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever fantasize about like living inside a crystal
dude,
ball?
Yes, we've talked about this. We've talked about this. Lindsay and I have talked about this in length. Mm-hmm. So like when we were teens, young people out there, not even teens, younger, young people out there, we did not have the internet. So when we were kids, we would just like imagine things. Yep. You just like sit there and imagine. And I remember like. Like, yeah, like looking at this book of geodes and like being like, what if I was tiny? What if I was a tiny little person that lived inside of that geode? Like, and that was my afternoon. That was a whole afternoon.
Yeah. Now yeah, I just see myself yelling at my daughter, you know. You're on your phone a lot. When I was young, I just had to imagine things.
You know?
That is so good now.
You'd be like, there's literally nothing to do, nothing that I want to watch on television because my options are very limited because it is 1993.
That's great.
And you would just go, I guess I'll just invent a whole fake life for myself in my head and tell no one about it.
Yeah, yeah. And just have this little secret world where, dude, Lindsay, didn't you used to like lay down on the floor of your closet and just imagine?
Yeah. I was literally closeted.
And that's
through all
how
of
I had fun.
Yeah. I had this whole little twinkly light set up with my books about auras and my book about King Arthur and all of my spheres.
Dude, yeah. I used to like go outside and like get these big leaves. They weren't even that big. I'm going to be honest. They were like the size of my hand. Okay. And I get these leaves and I confirmation bias. And I would like put little sticks. I would like make a little fairy hut thing, and then I'd be like, "What if I was small and I could be inside of this?"
Your thing was really about shrinking down.
Yeah, I wanted to be. I wanted to be really tiny.
I mean, I get it. I remember being so bored at times. Like a recurring game I would play, I would just lay on my bed, stare at the wall, and then like look at the texture of the paint on my wall, and then I would just take my fingers and walk across the wall. Like I was like, yep. Now your legs walking across the ground. Yes. Like that's like, that would kill like 15 minutes as a kid.
Be a finger person for a while.
Yeah. And I'd make my fingers do the splits. And then I'd be like, what if I
and then
knew
you'd
that?
Be like doing like little rocket kicks.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The power of boredom.
This is why, how I got into aliens and UFOs and Bigfoot. Because it was like, I just had too much time to think about crap like this.
Yeah.
I need to know now that we're talking, I need to know how much kids now either daydream or play pretend.
God.
Because I have
great.
Truly no of sense of it.
Yeah. Their imagination works pretty good when you take their phones and their iPads away. So, you know, it's about getting bored, being bored, and then turning. Mm-hmm. Turning the world around you into something that it's not, you know, but you have to allow for that boredom in order for it to happen. You know, if you're just constantly looking to be entertained, then, you know, you're not going to, you know, lay on the floor and look up and stare and pretend you can be in a little hut that you made out of leaves. You know, I think that stuff's important, you know?
Yeah, well,
there's a lack of boredom nowadays.
Yeah. I do wonder about that. Yeah. Like our kids, I mean, I think the answer is a hefty no, but is the average kid at bored as often as the average kid
no
was
if you're
when we were
a bored
kids.
Kid if you're a bored kid listening to this, please
oh, man.
Email us at bigfootcollectorsclub@gmail.com.
Do not email them. You need to ask your parents.
Oh yeah, check with the parent first. All right, I assume they're fans as well and they're listening to this. Okay. All right, here we go. Speaking of emails, this one's called "My Ghost Cat Sits on My Head."
Oh, I love it.
Hi, Michael, Bryce, Riley, and everyone else. I'm a huge fan of the podcast and have been listening since the very beginning. I just listened to the episode where Michael tells the story of the dream he had about sweet baby Albie and feeling and hearing him. This is my bulldog that passed away this summer. First of all, my deepest condolences for your loss. Thank you, listener. I recently lost my best friend of 12 years and was absolutely devastated. Her name was Precious, and she was just that. She's a beautiful cat. Every night, she slept right on my pillow, right next to or on my head. One night, not long after she passed, I was having an emotionally rough day. I was in that kind of asleep, kind of awake state, and I felt her jump on the bed. The same light thud that I'd felt a million times. I then felt something press against my head, and I couldn't bring myself to open my eyes, but instantly felt calm and went right to sleep.
Wait, why are you making me cry?
Sometimes, you know, we pluck the heartstrings of our guests and our listeners.
Oh my God.
This has happened a few times since. There are no other pets in the house that this could be attributed to. Perhaps it's some kind of muscle memory triggered by a stressful day, but I like to think it's her telling me everything's okay, like she did for so many years when she was alive. Aww. I hope you feel the same kind of comfort knowing that maybe Albie's letting you know he'll always be there for you. Keep up the amazing podcast. Can't wait for season 2 of Expedition Bigfoot. Little shout out there, Bryce.
Nice.
Lots of love, Marissa. Well, thank you so much for sharing, Marissa. I mean, I've had this experience, as you know, so I get it.
My God.
I'm honestly a little teary.
No, I am too. And I'm too delicate right now. There's something wrong with me where I don't cry, so something's happening.
I'm affected, you guys.
I'm affected. I'm feeling things.
Mine and Mike's dog, Edwin, we just had to take him into the vet to have a little cyst removed above his eye.
I almost had a heart attack. Okay.
Yeah. And we were like, oh my God, what if it's cancer? What if it's cancer? And in the invoice they gave us, because we were like, okay, well, while he's there, we'll go ahead and do one of those like full dental exams with the x-rays and the scraping and all of that. And in the invoice, they accounted for like us possibly having to do 6 tooth extractions.
Oh my God.
And we were like, oh my God. And we're talking about it the night before. And we're like, he's not going to need any teeth extracted. They're always saying that his teeth look good. So like, we don't even have to worry about it. We get a call when he's in there doing the procedure. They're like, yeah, so he needs 16 teeth extracted.
Wait, how many?
16. And it ended up only being 15. I know. It turns out that he has like 42 teeth. And this happens a lot with small dogs because they've been bred in a way where it's like they still have as many teeth as back when they were a big dog in their ancestry. And their mouths are just too small and it gets very bad in there. And so she was like, he's probably going to feel a lot better now. But we were like, he had an infection from it. And the infection had moved to his liver. And so we were just like flipping out. And we get him back and we're like cooing over him because we're so concerned about his little mouth. And thank God the cyst was nothing. But
Dumb question time. Can dogs get cavities?
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's what was going on.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
Because I he had abscesses.
Albie had an abscessed tooth, and I had to take him in, and I could tell. I thought maybe they could get it with cleaning, but it was like one of his back teeth, and they took that out, and then they were like, "Oh, this infection is actually spread along this entire row of teeth," and he had like 5 or 6 teeth taken out, including one of his cute little fangs in the front, which was a total bummer.
Yeah, Edwin had all these tiny little like
grains of sand,
grains of sand practically. I was gonna say like rice.
Yeah, they were teeny tiny,
but worse, like not worse, but like smaller.
Yeah.
And we were like, hey, tiny teeth. And we'd call them tiny teeth all the time. Now all of them are gone.
Yeah. I had that with one of my cats. It's same thing where it's like missing more teeth than she has now. And she used to have 2 vampire fangs and she was black cat. So it was really cute. And then they're gone. And so now she just looks like a little old lady.
It's kind of cute that she's more tooth than cat. That's kind of cute though.
Yeah.
Oh, we love our pups. Thank you for that letter, Marissa.
That was
really
so sweet, Marissa.
So sorry for your loss. Kelly, you've got a nice chunky letter here. Why don't you dig into it?
Yeah, this letter's pretty chonked up. Let me read it. Okay. Trickster ghost in my house?
All right.
Hi, BCC crew and guests. I have a few paranormal experiences I've been dying to share, but first, I have something to say. Michael, I loved watching you as Henry and What I Like About You. And Bryce, I loved watching you as Detective Wilden in Pretty Little Liars. Oh. If your character hadn't been a total creepo cop, I would have had a crush on you.
Nice.
I didn't know it was either of you until I slowly began recognizing your voices, so it was fun for me to realize you guys aren't so unfamiliar after all.
I like that you recognize us just by our voices. That's a lot of actors to weed out.
Yeah. Anyway.
You've made it.
I have 2 stories, which I'll share today, and some terrifying sleep paralysis stories that I will send in a future email. I'm going to do what any good BCC listener does and try and keep it, quote, short, winky face. Context. I recently graduated college and I'm living in my childhood home. I believe my house was built in the 1950s or 60s, and we don't believe anyone's ever died there. I've lived in this house in Minneapolis all my life, and I'm 23 years old. I never saw a ghost, although I did see shadow people, which taught me not to go looking in dark places at night. Ooh. My eyes always seemed to either imagine or see the ugliest, scariest, demented-looking faces staring back at me. The paranormal things that I've experienced have been small, but very unexplainable, even after several years of trying to come up with logical theories. Here are 2 of the weirdest experiences I've had in my house. 1, in early high school, I had a friend over to hang out. We were talking in the family room before going outside to play soccer. The only other person in the house was my dad. He walked through the family room, out the door, into the garage. And as soon as the door closed behind him, my friend and I both heard a loud click. We looked around and thought it was weird, but chalked it up to a weird house sound. However, a couple minutes later, my dad tries to re-enter the house, and he can't. He knocks on the door, and I go to open it, but I can't either. I look, and the deadbolt is locked. I undo the lock and open the door, and both my dad and I look at each other and say, "Why did you lock the door?" Then we both say, "I didn't lock the door." My dad was angry at me and assumed me and my friend were playing a prank on him, but my friend knows the truth. We didn't dwell on it, and we went off to play soccer. But I think about this all the time. My dad swears he didn't lock the door, and frankly, it wouldn't have been possible. We only have two keys for the deadbolt on that door. One stays in the lock on the inside of the house, and one is in a hiding spot on the other side of the garage. Weird. There's no way my dad could have gotten to it and locked the door so quickly. I've tried playing with the lock to see if there's any way to make it balance where it locks by itself from being slammed, but I haven't had any luck. The lock is not on a spring, and it requires two full turns to lock it. I have no explanation or theory as to what happened that day other than a trickster spirit messing with us. It's funny to think that it could have been my deceased grandpa's playing a prank as well.
That is funny.
That is funny. That's cute. I hope it's that. Number two. This story is probably the most spooky. Around the same time period, I was dropped off at my house to grab something and then leave right away. It was pitch dark outside and no one was home except for me and my dog, who was locked in his kennel at the time. I went downstairs and began looking for what I needed when I heard three footsteps, a pause, three footsteps, a pause, and it continued from one side of my house to the other. I want to be clear, I've lived my whole life in this house and I can usually identify exactly who's walking and where based on what the footsteps sound like. And these were not no normal footsteps and certainly weren't no creaking pipes. Mm. It was clear as day. Step, 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 pause. Step, 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 pause. From the family room on one side of the bedrooms to the complete other side. I stood frozen in fear, thinking about the movie The Conjuring, where Ed and Lorraine Warren say that demons make sounds in threes as an insult to the Holy Trinity.
Yes. Yes. So
that is horrifying.
Yeah. I was going to say, Travel Channel just had a great shock doc on Ed and Lorraine Warren called The Devil's Road. It was so good.
Cool.
We can talk more on that later. But yeah, it knocks in threes to exactly like you said, piss off the Trinity.
Rude.
I just like picturing the Holy Ghost being like, if they knock one more time, I am gonna be insulted.
And then it's the third, and they're like, they better knock one more time, so it's four.
Yeah. Oh, damn it!
I stood down there for a few minutes until the footsteps stopped, then called out upstairs to see if anyone had gotten home and was just walking strangely. No one answered. I went upstairs, got a knife. I don't know what I thought I was gonna accomplish with this, but oh well. And checked every nook and cranny until I felt totally sure an intruder wasn't in my house. I haven't heard the footsteps since, but it was too clear of a sound for me to mistake it. I'm hoping it's the same trickster ghost from before. I've always been afraid of my basement since my brother told me that Samara from The Ring lived down there, and this event certainly didn't help. Thanks for all the laughs and spooks. You guys feel like friends from afar. Sending love from Minnesota. Uh-huh.
Nice.
Thank you, listener. Dude, what
That's crazy. Yeah.
I mean, poltergeist activity may be connected to how old was she at the time? I mean, it tends to the old lore goes that poltergeist activity tends to happen when there's an adolescent teen in the house, often a teenage girl.
Early high school. She said it's around the same time.
There you go. I mean, I think that theory is I'm a little sexist, but I don't know. Well, this is some poltergeist activity.
Our estrogen is a powerful psychic energy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's connected to the moon.
I just can't tell if this theory is made up by men who are just scared of women in general.
I mean, probably. I think so, for sure. Because they view like teenage girls as being like a demonic dick trap.
Don't you tempt me. Swings are unpredictable. Let's the lock on the door. What do you guys think? This sounds like
two
a Christopher
full
Pike
turns.
Story.
Yeah,
come on, no way. It can't just do that. I think that some ghost did that.
It's got to be
I believe, or
the ghost.
Yeah, maybe and it also, could be the friend who's like stepping over some boundaries, or a ghost.
And if it's a prank, what's the payoff of the prank, especially when dad's not like,
to go home and just like not even your cruelly dad. Laugh at your friend for believing that you didn't lock a door.
It's just like a real long con to just fuck with you and make you think you're insane.
Oh, they're gaslighting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then two, I don't know. I would say same spirit. Bryce, what do you think?
Yeah, something's going on there. Those footsteps sound pretty creepy. I'm going to go with you, man. It might be the same sort of spirit, or at least something of the same type of activity.
I'm going to say different spirit, because the first one was like, haha, I locked the door on you. Hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. And then like scampers off like an elf or something. And the second one is like, fuck you, Holy Trinity.
Yeah, yeah, I'm getting that same vibe. Like the first one is like, yeah, I'm a little Casper. Yeah. And then the second one is like, you will bow to me.
Listener, I would say find out where your house is mm-hmm. built and if there are any other stories around that area.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's in a spooky pocket. Spooky I love pocket. It. I'm with you, ladies. All right, guys. Lindsay, you yes. have a letter there that I think we should get
I
into.
I do. This letter is entitled Memories of Previous Life and Living with a Ghost.
Oh, okay. Oh, first great. Of all, I'll say I think there's a typo here. I think it begins after the... that yeah. listener, somehow this, huh? these letters overbled. And that listener, last listener, also lives in Sasquatch territory.
Oh, I'm looking British at that Columbia. Now. British Columbia, oh, right on.
Oh, sorry for the typo, everybody.
I see.
Right, so your letter starts right after
gotcha,
that.
Gotcha. All right. In my 28 years of life, I have experienced dozens upon dozens of paranormal experiences and encounters. First, from the time I could talk until about age 6, I had vivid memories of my previous life, which I shared openly with my parents. I talked about my other mommy and daddy, as well as my brother. Only my sister was born when I was 4. Wow. I was able to provide shocking amounts of detail about them, what they looked like, what they wore, where we lived, places we went on holiday that I had never been, what? Things we did together, whoa. Toys and dresses I had, among other things. It gets better, you guys. I read this beforehand. It is important to note that my parents fact-checked everything I was saying and every single what? Detail checked out.
Yeah.
You know what? Props to those parents for like not just dismissing this.
They must have been like at this point like afraid of their own child.
I would have been so excited.
Oh my god.
I'd be like, daddy's going to look at the microfiche. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, you know, there's like a point system for reincarnations, people experiencing their memories from a past life. They're, you know, they rate it on like a point system, how many facts can actually check out, and exactly like she said, places, dates, other people. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times they can actually find out who this person thinks they were in a
Bryce,
past life.
Quit skipping to the end of the story.
Oh, sorry. Okay, my bad. I didn't know. I haven't read it yet.
It gets even better than you think. Eventually they is that where I left off? Yeah. Okay. Eventually, they started to question me further, asking me increasingly difficult questions. I was able to answer every question, provide additional details, and never once contradicted my story or changed it in any way.
What?
Based on the significant amount of information I was providing, they were able to place my family in England in the early 1900s. What shocked them the most was when I described my family moving from England to New York. My father got a job in NYC and we were going there on a big boat that was very shiny and new. It was like a fun holiday. I described the boat in detail, things we did on it, and you probably guessed it. It was the fucking Titanic.
Yeah!
That's wild.
What?
I had never seen the movie. I know. I told you it got good.
Oh.
I had never seen the movie, and they had never told me about it. I went on to describe the night it sank in graphic detail. I remember being very scared and rushing around. My mother, my brother, and myself got off the big boat and into a little boat, but an angry man told my daddy that he couldn't come with us, that there was another special little boat for him. My mommy cried and begged the angry man to let my daddy on our boat, but he refused. I never saw my other daddy again. That was most horrible. That was as far as my memories went. Everything seemed to end with that traumatic night. After I turned 7, I stopped talking about it completely. Do you guys think she died? The little girl died out there?
Yeah, she died. Yeah. She's a freaking Titanic ghost.
No. I think her dad probably didn't make it onto another life.
Bryce, but she says that's as far as her memories went, and she's like a 6-year-old girl telling the story. She died on that boat, dude.
She did.
She died
so
on
many
that
people
boat.
Died out
she's
on
dead.
This boat.
You think
she's
so
dead. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
She's a ghost.
She's a sea ghost.
So she's not saying that when she turned 7, she stopped having memories of her past life. But
yes. No, she stopped talking about it at 7, but the memories ended.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So she from up till the age of 6 or turning 7, she had these vivid memories.
Right.
And the memories went up to the night of the Titanic.
My God.
And then
crazy.
After she turned 7, she kind of stopped talking about her previous life. Anyway,
that
there's
is,
more to this
mm-hmm.
letter.
Wow. That's wild.
However, I am convinced that whatever the hell it was made me more receptive to spirits, entities, and energies. Because once I turned 7 was when my encounters with the paranormal began. I have always believed in the paranormal and spent 18 years living in the same house that was haunted by the, in parentheses, friendly, definitely not malevolent, spirit of the man who had built the house. My theory is that, lady, you are in fact a ghost.
I think she's been a ghost the whole time.
I think you've
Surprise,
been a ghost the whole time.
Ghost.
Sorry to spoil for you.
Sorry to spoil the ending of
your
own story.
Life, but you died on the Titanic. Your sea ghost traveled to the country, and you a ghost.
Wow. You've been a ghost.
Congratulations for figuring out how to email us and download a podcast.
You're like a high functioning ghost.
No, that's good. That's good. Ghost writer. That's really good.
You should put in your Twitter bio like hashtag actually ghost. So anyway, she felt the spirit of the man who built the house. He died of a heart attack in the house, and we believe his attachment to his home was simply too strong for him to leave it. We experienced everything in that house. Cold spots, lights and TV turning on and off, feeling something staring at the back of your head, hearing footsteps walking around the house, seeing a white silhouette move out of the corner of your eye, doors, cupboards, fridge opening and closing, things disappearing, our dogs would randomly perk up and start staring and growling at thin air. Except again, my theory is that this was all you. Also,
it's the dog is staring at you because you are a sea
ghost.
You're
a sea ghost. Girl, you a sea ghost.
Girl.
Also, one time he took all of the pool balls out of the pockets of the pool table. That is interesting. And put them in shoes in the next room.
That, you know what? I appreciate that. That's kind of funny. That's cute. Where are they? I can't put my shoes on. Oh.
I was the only person in the house for that one. The craziest thing that happened other than the pool ball incident was this. One night I was walking down the stairs. The lights were off, so I couldn't see anything. Our dog liked to lay on the landing. So just before I stepped onto it, I called out, "Are you there?" expecting to hear my dog move or make some noise. Instead, I was overcome with freezing cold. The hairs on the back of my neck stood up. I felt a presence right behind me, and he whispered into my ear,
"No!
I'm here."
Oh.
It was the only time he ever spoke to anyone, and he never fully materialized. It didn't scare me because I could sense he had no bad intentions, but it shook me to my core. Huge fan of your podcast. Thanks for the weekly strangeness and opening your eyes to the craziness of the world. And then get this, you guys.
What?
Craziness of the world, Cassandra. Cassandra!
Cassandra,
you're really
going to
be that on-the-nose sea ghost?
Yeah.
Is Cassandra?
Cassandra was like a soothsayer in
Greek mythology.
Yeah.
Oh. That's a Greek. Is that a play? Is Cassandra in one of the classical Greek? I should know.
I forget exactly. I don't know if it was like in a play or mythology.
Wow.
Oh no, yeah, she was a priestess of Apollo, cursed to utter true prophecies but never to be believed.
What a curse. Wild letter. That is crazy.
Is this
thank you so much, Cassandra the sea ghost, for sharing your story.
Cassandra, thank you for learning how to get into the internet as a ghost and writing an email and telling us your story. You are a ghost, unfortunately.
Or congratulations.
Or congrats, because, you know, now you can get your full ghost potential. Mm-hmm.
This Bryce, what? Maybe the best letter we've ever gotten.
I mean, it ranks up there. I'm fascinated with this past life memory and recall. I mean, it's actually more well studied than people think. There's a doctor named Dr. Ian Stevenson who wrote the book on the subject, and the accounts are fascinating, and they can actually be fact checked, just like this girl was saying. And it's wild. I mean, the implications are astounding that you know, maybe there is something to living past lives and reincarnation. But, you know, and having the memory of those is incredible. Kids usually lose those memories around 6, 7, and 8. So they lose that recall. But it doesn't surprise me that, you know, she maintains sort of this this opening into the paranormal. You know, perhaps she's a very sensitive person to these sort of phenomenons. It's very strange.
I mean, amazing story, amazing. Well written. I'm not accusing you of being a liar, Cassandra. I was just like, is this made up because this is too good to be true?
I mean, if you get a Titanic story, that's like ghost gold.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And if someone's a ghost from the damn Titanic, like ghost story, Titanic story, bring it together. They are a ghost from the Titanic.
I would say this, you would be able to find out if that's true or not. I mean, there are certain not societies is not the word I'm looking for, but there's certain places you could go who will
research.
They know
the logbook of the Titanic.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's ways to check to see, you know.
Sounds like they did.
Is that her parents?
Yeah, parents did. I think parents did.
That's insane.
I love it. Yeah. I love this. Guys, I mean, I feel like we got to take our break here because we can't top that.
Yeah, we need
in this half of the show.
I need to recover.
All right.
We're gonna
take a quick recovery, and then when we come back, we have more L files from you guys. Man, I mean, we'll see if it gets better than that Titanic letter, but if we were handing out prizes on this show, Cassandra, you'd win so far.
Yeah. Not
best
bad.
Sea ghost.
Best sea ghost. Let's read another one. Right. Here we go. Hey there, BCC team. I've been a listener since your appearance on Bizarre States a few years back and look forward to the new show and the Patreon shows every week. I've always been obsessed with the spooky and the strange since childhood, and your podcast is one of my absolute favorites, with the mix of info, humor, and fun guests. I have, in my 42 years, had some personal experiences with the unexplained, one of which I'd like to share now. I grew up in Newport News, Virginia, an East Coast town right next door and side of a lot of important events in our nation's early history. And in my experience, the spirits of 76 are still around the area, along with a few additions. Haunted battlefields. Yes, that's right. Haunted battlefields where you can hear revolutionary drums late on foggy nights. Colonial homes where security guards won't go after dark. General Cornwallis's cave, Washington's campsite for the siege of Yorktown, and a mysterious road spelled differently on either end that's become the source of numerous urban legends are just a few of my haunts in my youth. It was a great area growing up for a geeky kid into ghosts and the paranormal. I never thought my most frightening experience would be my own home.
Ooh.
I was a few months away from departing for Navy boot camp and working as a groundskeeper at a local golf course. Considering mowing was my full-time job, my dad decided to be a nice guy one week and get the yard at home for me. While mowing near the house, the mower blade suddenly stopped and made a loud clang as it struck something coming out of the ground. When my dad dug it up, he discovered what appeared to be a cannonball. Being a military community, my dad's first call was to a friend of his who was a former EOD guy, which I think stands for explosion. Anybody know? Michael, do you know EOD?
I'll Google
end
it.
Of day?
I think it has explosive ordnance device, maybe something.
Never trust
that. Well, that would be EOD. Hold on.
Yeah, this is EOD. It says my former EOD guy. Explosive ordnance, something. I don't know.
Explosive ordnance disposal.
Disposal, thank you.
Disposal. Oh, right, because of the cannonball. They want to put it away, get it away.
He had my father place the cannonball in a bucket of water and made some calls. An hour or two later, Navy EOD shows up at our house in full gear and takes the cannonball away. Apparently, it had a gunpowder core that had never gone off and could at any moment. And that's not even the scary part.
What?
Anyway, the Navy took it away and detonated it offshore somewhere near the weapons station in Yorktown. They estimated it was an unexploded round from roughly around the War of 1812 era. A few weeks later, my parents won a weekend vacation and I had the place to myself for the weekend. I had settled in for a night of movies and
cannonball
At least we know who's winning those vacations.
Congrats to the parents. Damn.
Around 10 or so, my dog, Bo, who was 12 years old, nearly deaf and blind at this point, hopped up from the couch and ran to the threshold of the living room and began to growl. With full hackles up and all.
Pass. Now,
this was unusual to me, as Bo was the friendliest dog in the world and loved everyone and everything. He barely barked, much less growled threateningly. My first thought was, maybe someone was trying to break in. So I get up and I grab my trusty folding knife and go investigate the back of the house.
Oh, that's
trusty folding knife.
This guy is such like a guy.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
He's such a boy.
He's like,
you know what I mean?
He's I was going to
he's finding cannonballs. He's got his folding knife. He's got his old dog who's protecting
him.
Parents are away for the weekend. He's watching movies and chilling at home alone.
Groundskeeper at a golf course.
Yeah,
this is very like Ray Bradbury's story. And it's like young boys in the summertime.
So he's got his folding knife. I searched every room and closet in the house as well as the windows. Seeing no issues, I closed all the doors behind me. So if I had missed someone, I would hear the doors open behind me. I go back to the living room and turn my movie back on. 20 to 30 minutes later, the same thing happened. Bo jumps up and the growling begins. Additional strangeness. This dog who loved me more than anything would not cross that threshold for anything. So I go to look again. Every single door had been open. Every single one. As I stared at the door from the hall out of the corner of my eye, I see a shadow dart down the side of my parents' bed in their room. Knife out.
No.
Storm into the room. Young and dumb, I know. And flipped on the lights. Nothing there. No one under the bed or with anywhere else they could have gone. So at this point, I'm spooked. I back out of the room slowly and turn out the lights. As soon as I cross back into the living room area, I start hearing what sounds like a whisper of my name from the back of the house.
Shut the fuck up.
Don't do it.
Fully freaked out now, I throw a leash on Bo, who has not moved from his post in the doorway, grab the cordless phone, and exit out of the other door through the garage. We went out to my car to sit, and I called some friends of mine who I knew wouldn't think I was nuts. Once they arrived, we went inside and repeated the process. The house still apparently empty. We hung out and stayed up all night in the living room wide awake. The next morning, all three confessed we had heard our name whispered at some point in the night.
Oh my God.
And only we heard it. I never felt easy in that place again, but I went away to boot camp shortly thereafter.
This guy is such a boy.
Oh my God.
Big
off,
boy
to boot camp.
Off to boot camp. And never had anything like that happen again until I left. Funny thing is, the area where I saw the shadow person in my parents' room was right on the other side of the wall where we discovered the cannonball. I wonder if we woke something up when we moved.
Yes, obviously.
Woke up a Civil War ghost or something.
You got that War of 1812 ghost going on.
Seriously.
Or a more positive thought released a soul who had been trapped but took a little time to fully fade. Anyway, that's one of my weird little stories from a life seemingly being a magnet for this kind of stuff. I really hope it's not too long. Hope you guys enjoyed and keep up the great work. Maybe we'll get you guys out here for the Mothman Festival or maybe even the Virginia Bigfoot Conference sometime. Keep on believing. Jason Fitchko, Staunton, Virginia. Also, strangely enough, a really haunted area with even an occasional Squatch sighting. Thank you, Jason. Wow.
Dude.
What a letter, man. That's a crazy.
You guys are on fire elf.
Yeah, these are some good elf files. This is a treasure trove of paranormal stories. I mean, this is what we're collecting on the Bigfoot Collectors Club.
Yeah.
That and thankfully not gunpowder loaded cannonballs.
I like that. So I have two theories about this cannonball. One, they found the cannonball, and then this ghost, this like little boy from the Jeffersonian era was like, has anyone seen my cannonball?
Oh, yeah.
And was like hunting for it and couldn't find it. And he's like, excuse me, sir. And then the other theory I have is that when the Navy detonated that cannonball, it hit a wormhole. And that wormhole actually is what brought down the Titanic. And so and Cassandra the Sea Ghost are connected.
It's all connected.
They're part of the shared BC universe.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Is there anything creepier than hearing your own name whispered in the back of your
head?
No,
I got to tell you, as you're reading that part of the story, like I had a little like mental image of someone like, what if someone just appeared behind me right now and I screamed my mind.
Ew.
Yeah. Because they're not supposed to know your name. How the fuck do they know your
name? That's the
thing. And they all know their own, his friends' names, and they all hear their name being said. That's some fucking Pennywise the Clown shit.
Very much so.
We're not strangers anymore.
That's a pretty good Pennywise.
Thank you.
Georgie.
Real quick, I wanted to like put out that theory about the little boy who's looking for his beloved cannonball. So I was looking up, okay, well, what in 1812, what was the name of the era so that I could say Jeffersonian era?
Right.
So it goes Jeffersonian era. This era that I'm about to tell you what the name of it is. And then it's followed by the Jacksonian era.
Okay.
So, the era of 1812 to, like, 1825 is called the Era of Good Feelings.
Whoa.
It goes Jeffersonian era, of good feelings, and then Jacksonian era.
Generally good vibes going on. There was one war. It lasted a year, but other than that...
I don't like this last name thing. Let's change it up this time.
Would you be so kind to place this cannonball in a bucket of water?
Oh, also, I love that, like, as soon as it became the Jacksonian era, they're like, it is no longer the era of good feelings, I say.
What?
It's terrible, I might say.
What? Oh, this Jackson.
Whoa.
And then after that, it's Civil War era.
I can't believe everyone's a ghost.
Real dark. That I think they were like, this one part was pretty chill. There was a war, but this was everything. What's coming next is a bummer for a while.
Which tends to happen because then it went Gilded Age, Progressive Era, World War I, Roaring Twenties, Great Depression.
Wow. I mean, ups and downs.
I wonder if they name, you know, they're looking back and they're like, you know what, those were the good times. This little pocket until 1816, that was fun.
Yeah, maybe this used to be called something else. They're like, I don't know, that had a good feeling. You know what? We should call it the era. Yeah.
That was like their like late 80s, early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
That was like
that was their Clinton years.
Yeah. It was like their nostalgic, like, hey, everyone seems to be getting along. Okay. Wow. Great letter.
Wow.
Great story. So scary. Let me read this next one. Here we go. Make sure. Yeah. Okay. Here we go. Hey guys, back in October of 2008, I was living on my own in a house owned by a friend of my dad's. It was actually an old milk barn that had been renovated into a house. It was a small rectangle house that was in three parts, kitchen in the front, living room in the middle, bedroom in the back.
Kitchen in the front, bedroom in the back. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, this is like, this guy knows how to party. This will all come into play later. When you walked in the front door, the entrances to each room had no doors, so you could see all the way into the bedroom. So yeah, it's like a track house. I had an apartment like this in college. Up until this point in my life, I had weird things happen to me, but nothing at this level. My brother had lived in the house before me and then passed it on to me when he moved. He had told me there were issues with the electricity and showed me the breaker box and how to reset it if the electricity ever went out. One of the things that I didn't like about the house, it was set way off the road and there was no outdoor light, so it was pitch dark.
One of the things?
No, thank you.
That That's kind of a whole thing. So,
yeah. I would leave a lamp on in the living room, and I would play the radio at night. One
Motorhead!
Night.
Sorry.
What's your prize for one night, late in October, I woke up around, you guessed it, around
we thought you were going to say 11:11.
Oh, my God!
Gonna change
but 3 a.m.
is
the other.
Well, come on. But 3
we'll
a.
say 3:33.
3 a.m. is like, you know, it's the hour of
right,
strange.
Right.
Yeah, really hour.
It took me a minute to kind of wake up and notice that the house was dark and the radio was just static, except the TV was on. And upon getting up and checking, I had no cable, so it was just a snowy screen.
Hey, I was just going to stay real quick. This just came to me. You know, we hear 3 a.m. all the time. Do you think it's along the same theory as that Ed and Lorraine thing? That it's like, you know, this time of high strangeness because it mocks the Trinity? I mean, there could be something there.
Yeah.
I thought it was always like the position of like, you know, where we are in the night. We're like halfway between midnight and dawn.
I know,
so
but
it's like
that's
space.
Interesting. There's, I like that. I don't know. I'm going to explore
You're
that.
You're really getting
right
on
now.
The Ed and Lorraine Warren train. This is no,
I just, I think that was interesting. I don't know.
Very hard into Ed and Lorraine Warren
fair
right
enough,
now.
Fair enough. It's three and three. We get it. We get it.
Okay. Right, maybe. Moving on. Sorry. I had to express that thought.
Fair enough.
Confirmation
it
bias.
It took me a minute to kind of wake up and notice. Okay, so he's seeing the snowy screen. I try to rationalize it by thinking, well, maybe it was just I was just so tired I forgot to leave the lamp on and forgot to turn off the TV after watching a movie. I tried to turn the TV off. It took me a couple tries of hitting the power button, but I finally got it to turn off. It was a clear night, and I didn't have any curtains on and a lot of the windows, so the house was slightly illuminated, and I had just been asleep, so my eyes had adjusted to the dark. I started hearing a noise or rustling behind the entertainment center that the TV was on.
Yeah, I gotta go.
I had mice from time to time, so I thought that maybe it had been that.
Wow, this house sounds miserable.
As I went, I mean... This is a very isolating place to live.
Yeah. Listen, it's in the woods. It's no lights, electricity problems, filled to the brim with mice.
I mean, do
this
I have
is a
house?
Nightmare.
No, so you're better than me. I'm just saying it sounds scary.
No, you're better than me. You're better than me.
Well, ladies, uh-oh. Bryce, buckle up, because here we go.
No, okay.
As I went back to my bedroom, the static on the radio got slightly louder, and I heard a voice say...
Over the static?
I see you.
What?
Yeah, no bueno.
Are you serious?
It spooked me enough that I ran to the lamp outside my bedroom door, trying desperately to turn it on, and finally got it turned on. And when it came on, all the lights in the house came on.
I feel sick.
Thinking back, I remembered my brother saying there were electric issues, so it didn't alarm me at first. I started thinking the radio was just picking up someone talking.
No, that's crazy.
Who on the radio is saying, shh, I see you?
Then something changed.
No.
I started hearing a deep scratching behind the entertainment center.
I can't.
And drag up the wall. Till it was above the entertainment center, then started moving down the wall. I could hear the scratching and could also see the walls. I could also see the wall slightly
shut
pushing
the fuck
out.
You will stop
the
with
wall
this.
Like in Ghostbusters when the gargoyle tries to get Sigourney right before you see the hand pushing through the door.
You get a sledgehammer and you bash that in. I don't know. You got to do something. I feel sick.
The walls were not insulated, so it was empty walls. This in parentheses. I watched it as it traveled down the wall, pressing on the wall as it went. And when it got to the kitchen, it was like something moved really fast and knocked stuff off the counter.
I can't do this.
Guys, this is the most loaded L-Files episode we've ever had. So I ran to the bedroom, got my keys off the nightstand, and ran towards the front door. The whole time hearing the loud growling coming from the radio in the house.
What?
Just before I got to the door, it was like I ran into the wall that wasn't there so hard that my feet came off the floor and I
hit
the floor on my back.
Wow.
I tried getting a hold of the door and something put its hands around my ankles.
You
and
brought
me all the way to the back of the bedroom.
Drag me
to hell. Scenario, this is just a murderer. Worst case.
Yeah.
It's a fucking killer goat.
It's a murder ghost.
It's a wall geist. I jumped up again and booked it for the front door, got out, got my vehicle. I tried starting it, but couldn't. It would not turn over with the lights inside flashing. After several attempts, I finally got it to start and slung mud driving out of the driveway. I looked one last time in my rearview mirror and saw the front door slam shut and all the lights in the house go off.
Where do you go from there?
This is one of my main stories.
One...
I hope it didn't freak you out too much. Friends didn't like hearing it, and I'm not real keen on telling it because it makes me feel insane.
Will, I have several things to say. First of all, it's one of your main stories.
Yeah.
You have a whole portfolio.
It didn't take place in Maine, just like one of his main stories. So there's more that's happened.
Oh my God. The other thing is I love thinking that he then went to his brother, told him the whole story, and his brother went, yeah, electrical problems.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, I told you.
Dude, you just need more sleep, dude.
You just need to flip the breaker a couple times.
The wiring bulges out of the walls and it travels up and down the entertainment center. Don't be such
a
pussy.
The radio gives like a haunting, chilling voice because of the electricity.
Sometimes the radio will talk to you. Just chill out. It's just an electrical problem.
I got along with it fine. We shared a beer.
Yeah.
That is so creepy.
That's so disturbing.
This is like, guys, you guys are giving us Hollywood level stories
it's
tonight.
It's crazy.
This is so amazing. I mean, there should be an Unsolved Mysteries about
this.
Yeah, totally.
God.
Jesus, I didn't think we were going to, I mean, let's see where it goes from here. I'm terrified now. Kelly, you have a letter for us?
That I do. Hey, guys. I first heard of this podcast when Michael was on Craig Ferguson's Sirius XM show. I am a huge Craig Ferguson fan. So naturally, I had to listen to the episode with him about the Loch Ness Monster. I instantly loved the show. I went back and listened to the ones from the beginning, and I've kept up with it ever since. This is my favorite podcast.
Hey, all right. That's awesome.
I became a Patreon member, and I share the show with anyone I can. I'm getting my boyfriend interested in it. We listen to the Roswell episodes together and a few others.
Great.
I enjoy the stories and discussion. It's a lot of fun, and it feels like kicking back with friends. I am a licensed professional counselor working in a substance abuse treatment program. My job is often very stressful and emotionally draining. You know, doing God's work here. The podcast has become part of my self-care routine. I enjoy listening and having a place to share my own stories and things of high strangeness that I come across.
Awesome.
I'll leave you with a story. My workplace is totally haunted.
It does not help my state of mind.
About every few weeks, a client tells me about an experience. But it's not just clients. I've heard numerous stories from coworkers. Usually it's seeing someone walk down the hall or enter a room only to find out that no one's around. I have yet to see anything here, but I do sense things. I keep my crystals, salt, and sage oil close. Smart. The building is very old, and it used to be a nursing home. Also, unfortunately, I know for a fact that about 20 years ago, they had an adolescent program here, and one of the boys hung himself and died. Sad. The company had to do an overhaul of policies and implement new suicide prevention remodeling, such as covering up exposed pipes and staff trainings at that time. I don't know the kid's name. There haven't been any other deaths here, thankfully, but we have had several people come through here who unfortunately lost their lives to addiction or other circumstances after they left.
Wow.
The adolescent program was moved, and the facility I work in now has the adult residential programs. There's one program for mothers and small children. I am told that often the small children will be observed interacting as if they're playing with or talking to someone that is not there.
No.
And throughout the years, several kids have said that they were playing with a boy named Elliot. Clients are only here a few months at best. Many different kids have mentioned Elliot over a long period of time. None of us
know who Elliot is.
He doesn't seem to be cognizant. He is the brother of the Victorian sea ghost. He is not. None of us know who Elliot is. He
we could
seem
we
to be...
could assemble like an Avengers style team yes. of like ghosts,
yes.
and yeah,
characters from this. From there's a whole movie mm-hmm. we could write from this episode alone.
Yes, but he doesn't seem to be causing any harm. Anyway, thanks for the stories and have a great sewing, Tori.
Wow, interesting. Wow.
Tori.
Mm-hmm. Hey, by the way, huge points for pronouncing that word correctly.
Oh.
We're gonna love that.
Yeah, dude. Sewing. I celebrate sewing.
Nice.
So you know what I think of? I mean, have you guys ever heard of the stone tape theory?
No, tell it.
Okay, so the stone tape theory basically says that, you know, hauntings are analogous to like tape recordings, right? And that mental impressions during emotional or traumatic events can be projected in the form of energy, essentially being recorded. And so like in the work that she does with all these, I'm sure... I know, you know, emotions, energy runs so high and the stakes are so high that, you know, I could totally see them getting, you know, planted and mm-hmm. onto the walls of these of this building. And maybe that's why so many people experience strange things in the hallways and hear sounds. And, you know, it's always those old nursing homes or those old, mm-hmm. you know, places where just there's so much trauma.
So I'm with you 100%, Bryce, but then we hear about stuff like these kids who actually interact.
Right.
I think it can be both.
So,
and Elliot, well, I think maybe Elliot's just maybe the strongest.
It's probably Elliot's presence is still there, and then the other stuff is energy.
Hmm.
Because I also like the idea like that came up in the Borley Rectory episode we did where, you know, where the woman appears to be hovering above the ground and the paranormal investigator was like, but in her time period, the grading of the ground would have been about this high.
Oh.
So we're just observing her walking around in her own time. She doesn't know that we're seeing her. And yeah. I like that idea, too, that right. it's sort of a...
Like a time window.
Yeah, it's an imprint of a
time.
Window,
like time folding in on itself.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
But so I'm 100% open to that and think that's possible. But Lindsay, I think it might not be mutually exclusive. Mm-hmm. Like it could be both.
Yeah. And I think like, you know, the walls being like imprinted with just years and years of trauma and people that are very distressed. I feel like that energy like probably like contributes to Elliot. Strength in being there and Elliot mm-hmm. contributes to that and I feel like it's just like all feeding mm-hmm. itself, you know what I mean?
Yeah. sure yes yeah.
Emotion seems to play such a huge part in paranormal activity. You know, when emotions run extremely high, you know, that's when things start to happen, or that's when things, you know, shit can hit the fan.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Fascinating. And thank you for the work that you do.
Yeah, definitely.
Listener, yes. Awesome.
Okay, here we go. Lindsay,
you got
read
it.
Us the next letter.
Hello, all. I love your podcast and have been a listener since the very beginning. I keep meaning to submit this story and always forget, but now I'm on vacation with nothing else to do. So here you go. Sorry if it gets long. 4 years ago, my husband and I moved into a 105-year-old house in St. Paul, Minnesota. There's a few spooky features, like a hidden dirt room in the basement, ugh, and a secret entrance to the attic. What? No. Why?
No. Oh, it's all those like butler stairs and stuff. When I was looking, because I was specifically looking for a historic house to buy, and lots of interesting stairs.
Yeah, I'm not no moving now. In anywhere that has a mm-hmm. dirt yeah. floor.
It's a potato room.
Also, she's phrasing
there.
It. Hidden dirt room in the basement.
Hidden dirt room.
That's
definitely like a Buffalo Bill situation.
Yeah,
yeah, I don't like.
But then
this.
She
I'm
says,
sorry.
Generally though, it is not a scary house. It's like if you say so. Yeah,
no, you've already blown it.
Yeah, but like you're telling me the details.
Here's the thing now is like
the first two things you mentioned mm-hmm. are super.
Now we
scary.
Know that this person's barometer is like way different than ours.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Just generally.
It's electrical issues.
Yeah.
You know what? Confirmation bias. When we first moved in, we noticed that occasionally electronics would just turn on by themselves. For example, we would be watching TV, and all of a sudden the Xbox would turn on when no one was near it or the remote, and the attic light would be on when no one went up there. kill me. Also, there was one night our Bluetooth speakers connected to my phone and turned on while we were sound asleep. Also, my garage door would not open without yelling, "Good morning," into the void. I'm sorry, what?
Wait, what?
What?
Girl,
I decided not to read this one beforehand because I wanted to be surprised with everybody.
Garage door shouts, "Good morning?"
Yes.
Wait, so you have to...
I wanted to be like, morning. Also... Yeah, oh, you have to say good morning.
Good morning, and then the door will open.
Oh, and then in order for that dirt floor room to open, you have to say, "And Satan, I give you my soul." Yes.
That's how the gates of hell just...
Also, my garage door would not open without us performing the entire number, "Good Morning," from Singing in the Rain. We even had the electric replaced, and it continued, so it wasn't a problem with that. Well... Not one for electrical problems.
Okay, someone go get that brother.
We named her Dorothy after the only resident that ever died while living in the house. Nothing nefarious, just kidney disease. Well.
Okay. Well, tell that to your butt. Mm-hmm. Tell that to Dorothy's
butt.
Tell
that to the kidneys, because I think the kidneys had something nefarious going on.
Exactly.
Everything changed last Christmas. To get in the holiday mood, I went on a tour of the Alexander Ramsey House, the home of the first governor of Minnesota, which gets decorated in Victorian fashion with all the family's original ornaments, decorations, furniture, etc. Fun. Everything was jolly until we reached the bedroom of his daughter, Marion. They had two of her skating outfits. Oh my God, Kelly, skating outfits. I'm so sorry to interrupt.
Dude, what is the deal with skating outfits?
We just read a book where, like, the two characters were going shopping for skating outfits, and we were like, skating what?
11-11.
And we were like, why?
Just wear your clothes. Anyway, they had two of her skating outfits displayed with photos of her in them and at the St. Paul Winter Carnival. As soon as I stepped into the room, my blood went cold. There was something there, and it was not happy we were. Nothing overt happened, but I could feel that Marion was in the room with us. We continued the tour with the presence following us throughout all the rooms. It became hostile feeling again when we went into the children's playroom complete with all their original toys, which were creepy enough on their own.
Get those toys
do
out.
Do not keep Victorian children toys anywhere. Burn them. Bury them in your dirt floor. Yeah.
Everybody knows
them
that.
In the Everybody bay. Knows that.
Safety 101.
Mm-hmm. Straight into the lobster traps and never to be seen again.
We finished the tour and I headed home, hoping the presence decided to stay home. I don't think that she does. Sadly, she did not. Okay, I was right. For the next few days, the strange activity in our house increased exponentially. While Dorothy always gave off a feeling of someone just hanging out, all of a sudden, there was something else there. The Christmas lights on our banister would randomly turn on and off or start blinking, even when I took the battery out, and they did not plug in. Ornaments, which were securely placed, fell off our tree when no one was near it.
Is this Christmas ghost?
The wreath on the door would sway when there was no wind. Shut your face. After Christmas, when the decorations were down, it felt like the presents left, and we were back to Dorothy and her Xbox addiction.
Or so you thought. That bitch is playing Halo.
I accept, and the letter's not over, sorry. I accept that they had a feeling about what was going on, but honestly, the stuff that Marion was doing sounded kind of the same as the stuff that Dorothy was doing. But you had the feeling, not me. I don't know what happened that Christmas, and I couldn't find any similar stories online about the Ramsey House or Marion, but I do know that it wasn't just our Dorothy in the house with us that month. Dorothy is still messing around with our electronics, and I'd like to think it was her that drove Marion out from messing with us too much. So that's my story. I love your podcast and hope you enjoy my story, my minor brush with the paranormal. Peace out, Danny.
Wow.
Man, I mean, not so minor. That's good. That's a good ghost story. That's a creepy fucking story.
Luscious ghost story.
You know, her going to that house and taking a ghost with her. Remember when I came on here and I told you guys about how I took a ghost home with me from the Heritage Square Museum?
Oh, yeah, that's called a hitchhiker.
Yes.
Disneyland.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's true.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I always hate those stories. Like, so we just did the Amityville Horror House, and when the family left their house after only 28 days from being completely haunted by it, they escaped to their mother-in-law's, and the whatever entity was haunting them there followed them there to their mother-in-law.
Yes. Horrible. Oh, kick them out.
Like, God, it's like even when you run away, you can't get away
the
sometimes.
Scariest thing to me is it's like, okay, well, I can remove myself like the guy from his tract home with electrical problems that were trying to kill him.
Time but and place ain't a thing.
If that thing got in the truck with that guy, he'd be dead.
I know. It's like I would much rather live in a haunted house than be a haunted person.
It's a really good way of putting it.
Yes. At least you can. Yeah,
you can leave the house.
Can't leave the haunted person.
No.
Should go on a T-shirt. All right.
I have. Mm-hmm. I got one last story for us tonight. It's a long one, but it's. I've skimmed it. It seems awesome, and it seems well-paced.
I'm scared.
So,
okay, go.
So bear with me. I'm not quite sure where this is going to go. It's a lengthy one, but here we go.
I'm excited.
Hang in there, everybody.
I'm excited.
Buckle up, baby.
And this is from this letter. This listener did ask that we not use their name.
Okay.
And they call themselves Shane.
Okay.
Hey, gang. I've been wanting to send this experience that I had to you guys for a while now. And now that it's the tail end of wet, hot alien summer, I think it's time I share it with you dudes. I know it's a long story, but after listening to BCC episode 121, something that Bryce said had caught my attention and motivated me. He mentioned the black entity from the film Under the Skin. Awesome movie, by the way. And it reminded me of something that I saw in my bedroom. Again, this email might be a bit long, but it's something that I've never been able to forget.
Why am I more afraid of this one than Tract House one?
I know.
What I'm about to tell you, to the very best of my knowledge, is true. I say to the best of my knowledge because what transpired was the most bizarre thing that has ever happened to me. And in all honesty, it sounds batshit crazy. It's something that I have only told 3 people in my entire life. And most likely won't tell anyone else.
My God.
That person anyway.
I feel special.
This happened sometime back in the summer of 2011 or 2012, while my wife and I were living in a nice 2-bedroom house outside of Wichita, Kansas. Shout out to Michael, my fellow Kansas native. What's up, dude? In our bedroom, I would sleep facing the wall with my back towards the
door. Don't do that.
Nope. Don't do that.
Why would you? Mistake one.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Everybody knows you don't sleep that way.
Don't do that. You put your face towards it and you put the blanket over your ear.
We got to post a list of what not to do.
Yeah.
There was also a second door in the bedroom that went into our bathroom on the perpendicular wall across from the foot of our bed. So with that being said, here goes. The first thing I remember is coming to, or maybe waking up and being aware that I wasn't in any place that I recognized. I was standing in this gray metallic room with no discernible wall or ceiling. With the way the room was shaped, I couldn't tell where the floor met the walls and where the walls led up to the ceiling because there were no real seams or edges. The room is cold, but well lit, with a low fog.
Oh my God, this is an alien story instead of a ghost story?
So I'm standing in the gray room, and just as I start to think that I'm really in some serious trouble, I notice that I'm not alone anymore. The room is actually buzzing with conversation. And there are 5 or 6 people standing around me that I can only see out of my peripheral vision. They're moving around so quickly, like fast forward or skittering. I feel better that I have company now, but something isn't right about them. They look funny. They look different. And the room is literally buzzing with conversation, like the sound of a crowded bar. I glance slightly behind my right side and see a short metallic table about waist high. It's the same color as the walls and ceiling of the room. It's like all just one big piece. On the table, there's a person laying there, strapped down with metallic straps that look like leather, but they aren't leather. They're more like metal.
What?
Liquid metal. I begin to panic, and my brain feels foggy. I don't know what the hell is going on here, and who is that strapped down on the table, and why are they strapped?
No, I have a theory about who it is.
It's T-1000. Liquid metal.
And then I hear the voice. It's in my head, disembodied, and it's deep, almost empty of empathy or emotion. And it echoes.
What? You know the rules.
No, I don't.
I instantly snap out of my suspicion of the person on the table, and the concern melts away as I turn my head back around to face my odd companions. They're thin and short in stature, maybe 3 to 4 feet tall, with skin that is an orangish gray, and they have thin lips and lizard-like noses, and they have large almond-shaped eyes.
Oh!
Their eyes look oily, but not shiny, just like fluttering pockets of oil. I'm not scared, though, but on the contrary, I'm actually enjoying their company. Like, mm-hmm. I'm among friends. Long-time friends. There's music playing in the background, like 1920s or 30s jazz, and we're all dancing.
All the other stories, they've, weird. Like, fit up, like, yes.
As
this one, I'm like, yeah. Angels? Aliens? The past? The future? I don't know.
I'm like, The Shining? I don't know.
This is so like, yeah, duh. Whitley Strieber Communion, Christopher Walken style. This is getting crazy.
Okay, hold on. Stay with me, guys.
Okay.
There's music playing in the background, like 1920s or 30s jazz. And we're all dancing? We are dancing. Their frail little bodies are swaying and their arms are waving around. It's almost like they're swing dancing, while some others are just moving their hips. I'm smiling and shaking my head back and forth while I'm apparently doing the twist.
Okay.
Their arms look so frail, like tree limbs, but they move and bend like they have multiple elbows. Then someone tells a joke, and man, it's a good one. We all start laughing, and whatever was said, though I can't recall what it was, has me laughing so damn hard, I'm nearly crying. I feel like I'm drunk. I bent down and slapped my leg just above the knee and let out an audible, whoa, man, that's pretty good. And I casually glance back to my right side as I wipe my eyes again because holy shit, that was a funny joke. And I'm laughing so hard, I'm crying. And then I see the table behind me again. The body on the table is a child, maybe 10 years old. The haircut is ambiguous and the straps are covering the person's genitals and chest, but I know it's a child. All of a sudden, I snap out of the comedy dance trance, and now suddenly I'm terrified for the child on the table. What the hell is going on? I've got to get them off that damn table. And instantly, I'm good and pissed off and I'm going to kick someone's ass, and I need answers right fucking now, because if someone doesn't tell me what's going on, the voice in my head echoes again. Louder, but oddly calm, almost like it's bored. You know the rules, Shane. You remember the rules? God. I turn back and face my hosts, and I apologize, and I say, and the music is playing, and we're all swaying and laughing, and it's a really great time. And I feel like I've known these people my whole life, like this common occurrence, these dance parties. I'm excited, and I'm feeling like these are the people that I want to spend the rest of my life hanging out with. Mm-hmm. I feel love. I feel I belong here, and I feel this overwhelming sense of fear. Fear washes over me like a fiery sheet, like some sort of primal lizard brain fear. It's guttural, like someone poured molten metal in my guts, and now it's raging from my stomach like lightning. I can't take this feeling. Alarm bells are buzzing in my brain. I whip my body around, and I'm staring at the person on the table, and I feel rage, and another primal instinct kicks in. I have to protect this child. I'm mad as hell and equally just as scared, and I'm going to get some answers now because I have to know what the fuck is going on here, and I'm gonna get some answers right fucking now, because you know what? The hollow voice echoes inside my head. I'm sorry, Shane, but
you
knew
the rules.
You know the rules. The anger instantly melts away, and I'm suddenly surprised by this statement, embarrassed, like a child who's in trouble. And in a weird last-minute rebuttal, I whimper, but wait. And the air is sucked out of my lungs, and I feel a vacuum. And then suddenly, And then I suddenly realized that I'm laying in my bed and I'm staring at the wall. How long was I here? Have I been here this whole time? Why can't I blink my eyes? Wait, why can't I move my body? I'm just paralyzed laying there. I can hear my wife quietly snoring next to me, completely dead to the fact that I'm awake next to her, fighting for my faculties. And this is where things get scary.
What?
Michael, this?
He says.
Shane.
I don't know what the hell is going on. I feel like I'm frozen in place. Why the hell can't I move? I'm staring at the bedroom wall and screaming in my own head, stuck, unable to move my own head, and then something odd happens. As I lay there, frozen, I hear another, quote-unquote, me speaking in my head, like a second consciousness, and it says, I have to urinate. What? It's like I have two separate inner voices. I think to myself, I don't have to pee right now, what the hell? But the second me thinks to myself again, I need to urinate now. I will go and I will urinate now.
It's like when girls need to escape like an uncomfortable situation at a dinner. No, you need to pee. We're going to use the restroom. Yeah. We'll be right back.
My friend is having a piss emergency.
I know you need to go, girl.
Without my controller consent, my arms begin to move and I grab the blankets and mechanically pull them off as my legs swing forward off the bed. My body then sits up and I'm sitting on the edge of my bed, still staring at the wall. I start screaming at myself, where the fuck are you going, idiot? You don't have to piss right now, just stop. My body stands up, turns, and begins to rigidly walk towards the bathroom. And I see something scuttle across the shadows on the floor and scurry up the wall.
Ew!
I barely saw it, but I did see it. It looked like a damn gremlin. Mm-mm. Like from the movie.
Gremlin!
Yeah. Just a little smaller and solid black, like oil.
Yeah, that's not
good. It scurried up the wall, and then it looked like it almost got sucked up into the shadows that were cast across the ceiling. What in the hell was that? I yell inside my head. Well, forget that. It's small potatoes compared to what is happening, what is
small
waiting.
Small potatoes?
What? Small potatoes?
As I robotically walk the last few steps towards the bathroom door, I see this thing standing in the corner of our room. It's black, oily, like it's made out of tar, and it's dripping all over the carpet in a thick, bubbly mass. It's about 4 feet tall and thin, like emaciated. It's got this big, toothless grin that's almost too large for its own head. It's literally smiling nearly from ear to ear, almost like a fucking Muppet, like the top of its head could just unhinge and fall off its jaw. And it's just grinning like a fool and staring off into space with these stark white eyes. Oh my god, oh my god, oh god, oh god, what the hell is going on? My wife is still dead asleep, peaceful and unaware. I'm steered into the bathroom and stop in front of the toilet. I'm getting really annoyed now because I've already established that I do not need to take a piss. But I pull my shorts down and pee streams into the toilet water. A nice, thick, loud stream.
Okay.
What the fuck? I didn't have to take a piss, but I'm peeing now and it's like I've held it in for hours. And then, as I'm
standing
there peeing,
it starts to get really scary.
Chill. Then it gets really weird. Chill crawls up my spine from my lower back all the way to my hair at the base of my neck. More alarm bells going off. It's unmistakable feeling. It's the unmistakable feeling that I'm being watched. Something is watching me. I just know it.
And Buck says that thing in the corner.
From where I'm standing, even though I'm still unable to move my head, I can glance over and look at the window of the bathroom into the backyard. It's illuminated by a light post out back that's in the alley, but something seems off. And I'm standing there, scanning the normal view of the backyard. There's my neighbor's house, the swing set, the corner of our garage. Short little thing with a big head and the light post.
Man.
Takes me a second to make the connection, but clear as day, like I just caught a little kid stealing a cookie, I see it standing in the light of the backyard. And it's not the first time I've seen this thing tonight. It's one of those grayish-orange things from the metal room. He's standing still, frozen, almost like he's scared. I know it. I wasn't supposed to see him. Not like this. But something is wrong now. I caught him, but I wasn't supposed to see him. He messed up, and I can see him.
Eliminate the witness.
I start taunting the force of whatever it is that's going on here, and I start teasing it. Ha ha ha, you stupid fucks, you fucked it all up, and I caught you.
Very wow, bold.
And I'm feeling a little more in control now. And I look forward because I'm still peeing. I mean, a lot of pee talk in this story. That's fine.
I mean, if that's what was happening, it's
easily.
Pee-pee story.
It's easily been at least a full minute of pissing. But then my body does an about face, and I robotically turn around and face my bedroom.
I was going to say, I pee everywhere.
As I
pee
do,
on my wife,
I'm unable
still to dead asleep.
Yeah, just.
Sleep, she's
human.
Sleeping.
They turned into a human sprinkler. I face my bedroom, but as I do, I'm able to turn my head and look out the bathroom window again, and I notice that the thing in my yard is still standing there, too scared to move, but now there's a second one peeking out.
Yes, I knew you were feeling too confident, sir.
He shouldn't have provoked them.
His face almost pressed against the glass.
Man.
Fuck you, I scream as loud as I can, but it just comes out as a hoarse whisper. Leave us alone. And another face slowly peeks up over the windowsill. My legs begin to move again, and I'm walking back to my bed, but not before I see that oily little creep in the corner one last time.
Who is that one?
It sees me, and its eyes get even wider, like they may pop off its head and roll away. It knows that I saw it. Its grin gets a little bigger, and its eyes roll into the back of its head and melt.
Oh my god!
Into the shadows.
Grins getting bigger are one of my most like
real nightmare
feared things to see.
Yeah, when it keeps getting bigger and bigger.
So cartoony too.
Yeah.
All right, we're in the home stretch here. We're almost done, and then this is wild. Whatever in the hell, ever-loving hell is going on in my house, goddamn all of you, you don't have any right to be here, and I swear to God, if you fucking touch her,
whoa.
Then, in the exact opposite movement of how I got out of bed, I got back in and laid back down. I attempt one last fleeting try to get some kind of control over my faculties, but I'm stuck. I start to think about my wife, and what am I supposed to do to protect her from these things? My mind begins to race. The kid, the table, my wife, those things. Don't forget. The kid, the table, my wife, those things. Don't forget. Over and over and over. And the shadow of a thin person with a very large head passes outside the bedroom window. And then the world fades to black, and I'm lost, floating in a sleepy abyss. The next morning, I wake up and I feel refreshed, like I had just slept for 10 hours. My wife has already left for work, so I feed the cat, grab a swig of orange juice from the carton. You might want to go easy on the fluids, just saying.
Or he has to really hit it hard.
Because he really peed out all of his water.
I put the juice back in the fridge and make my way to the bathroom and hop in the shower. It's going to be a good day. I begin to map out my workday and plan my evening as I casually glance out the bathroom window into the backyard, soaping up. And in an instant, it all comes flooding back like a bolt of electricity. It hits right behind my eyes. The kid, the table, my life, those things. My legs give out and I crumble down onto my knees. My head is splitting and there is a feeling like I have had a head full of angry hornets. I double over and I feel like I'm going to puke, but I don't. I just laid there. Hornets are all buzzing and I just hear their static. Somehow, long after the water has grown cold, I managed to fight away the mental bee's nest, and I picked myself up. Turn off the shower, dry myself off.
Blackout.
I don't know how I got dressed. I don't remember how getting into my car or driving or even realizing that I'm now walking up the parking lot to my work until I open the front door and my coworker says, "Good morning, Shane. You look like dog shit that's been warmed over. What's wrong?"
People actually say that in real life? It's a very movie thing. True.
It depends on where he works. All I can mumble in response is, "Oh, sorry, but I had a bad dream or something." She looks at me blankly and confused and says something about bad dreams. But I ignore her and walk away and try to fight the swarm of wasps as my head starts to buzz a little bit more. And I go into my office and I start to cry. Luckily, My coworker at the time was into the paranormal, so through some awkward tears, I told her what happened. Who knows if she believed me? Do I even believe me? I think I do. So anyway, great job with the show. Michael, I've been a fan ever since True Blood. Bryce Willow Creek was awesome. And Riley, tickle those synth keys is a real treat. All my best, Shane.
Shane.
Shane had too much spicy pizza before sleep.
Whoa. Bryce, where's your head at? Oh, no, we lost
Shut up.
Bryce.
That explains why.
Fuck
you.
No,
okay.
No, I'm still here.
Oh, you
I'm
muted?
Still,
oh, okay.
Oh, my God, I had such a nightmare.
Sorry, my kid came to say goodnight. I muted for a second. I'm back.
Okay. I was worried we lost the whole thing.
No.
Bryce,
I was,
where's your head at here? Because I know it must be going in a million different directions.
Yeah. This is so fucking crazy. First of all, dude, something happened, man. There's no doubt about it. And you should look into, if you want to know more, look into getting a regression session. I mean, something happened.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. You know, man, it's crazy. Every time I use the restroom at night, like I usually do it once a night, like in mid sleep, and there every time there's a thought that crosses my mind, like God, you know, there's like that paranormal, like I hope you look down the hallway, you check and make sure nothing's there, and sometimes you'll get the little goosebumps. You're just like, and then you gotta kind of want to scurry back to bed as quick as possible. Mm-hmm, but, man, I don't know, maybe something happened to me, but you know. That's crazy. That's a crazy story, man. I don't know what to tell you.
At first, I was like, it's an alien abduction. And then when Shane said they woke up in bed, I was like, oh, well, that's sleep paralysis. Maybe it was just a dream. But then as soon as all the other shit with the like oily creatures started happening, I'm like, all my theories are out the window.
Yeah.
You know what I was hoping would happen?
What?
That the wife would flip over and be like, you know the rules.
Right. Oh, that would be so good. That would be
but
so
thankfully
good.
Thankfully for the main person in the story, that did not happen.
Oh, I was going to say that, you know, what if like the story ended with, and then 9 months later, my wife gave birth to a son. And that was the child on the table. And he was actually just in heaven.
I was kind of...
Yeah,
oh my God.
And then the son later, when he's like four, says, "You know the rules, Dad."
Yes.
This is one of those like. So you guys were like, everything seems to fit into a genre. What is this? This is like one of these classic
abduction
UFO abduction stories that are often way weirder.
Yeah,
and almost have a interdimensional entity quality to it. This is straight up like Jacques Vallée, Passport to Magonia. Yeah. This has a blend of the sci-fi alien stuff, craze, and then some weird, trippy, like labyrinth, like goblin and fairy stories that have been around for centuries.
Well, even the after event piss that took so long, like emptying all those fluids that who knows what was pumped
That's
in
what
them
I was
on
thinking
wherever
too.
He
yeah.
was.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking too. So this is one of those weird abduction stories, like, which are, again, often when you get, like Bryce always says, when you get into the little details, sound way weirder and more dreamlike than a straightforward, like these aliens came in a ship, picked you up, put you in a ship. It's almost like you cross into a different realm and they're crossing over from that realm.
Yeah,
too.
No
it's
doubt
like
about it.
Meeting in a shared space. This is some John Keel, Jacques Vallée classic high strangeness. Yeah. And I actually would say maybe not go get regressed right away, at least. I would say this is the type of perfect story that I would send to somebody like John E.L. Tenney, who is a friend of the show, paranormal investigator, who's heard weird shit and probably weirder shit. And tell him this story if you can write to him and get his opinion on what went on here.
Yeah. You know, it had a little bit of Hopkinsville Goblin too, like staring out at the window and seeing the little goblins out in the yard screwing with you, you know. It's like, oh man.
And you were dead on the nose with the Whitley Strieber communion stuff, because there's like even that dancing weird dancing stuff.
I gotta say, this goes back to what I was saying on the break, where I'm just like impressed by by this podcast because you guys are so well versed in so much paranormal stuff, like from aliens to like psychedelics to like the universe is a hologram to ghosts. It's like very impressive.
Thank you so much.
We've been around the block.
We've been doing this every week for we're heading into this is like kicking off year four.
We're in year four as well.
Congrats, dude.
Thank you.
Oh, congratulations. So yeah, I would say, you know, maybe check out Communion or read some of that stuff if you haven't yet, Shane. Although if you're listening to this, you probably already have. Guys, great L Files.
Yeah,
this is a long, epic episode. Yeah. We ran a little long. Thanks for hanging with
us. Lindsay, Kelly, you are the perfect guest for
reading. Can I just make this episode just like a little bit longer for like 30 seconds? We don't have to unpack this or anything, but Kelly and I had the same exact dream a week apart.
Oh my God. Yes. I'm so sorry. Yeah.
Wait, you had the what?
Literally
the same nightmare.
Let's unpack your L Files.
The same nightmare.
So, and they both like fit in with the same moment in our menstrual cycle. So
yeah, we're basically like 2 to 3 days
and
apart.
And then at the exact same point.
How long ago was
this? About a month.
Like about a month ago. Maybe less. Okay.
So we both had this dream where we were at something where in our dream, the both of us were basically like, it was a roofie party. We were at a party that guys were throwing where they were roofieing every girl there. And we were the only ones who knew. And we were trying to save all the girls and get them out.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
And like losing track of them. And then like
everybody's laughing at us.
Putting one girl like, you know, over by the door and then turning around and then she's gone. And then you find out she's like over like in the other room and everyone laughing. Literally, it was like I texted Lindsay and I was like, I had a really bad night's sleep last night. Like I was scream sobbing in my sleep, like harder than I've ever fucking cried. And I was like, I dreamt I was at a roofie party and I was the only person who knew about what was happening. And she was like, holy shit, I had that exact dream.
It was
last
insane.
Week.
And the same thing, it's like after trying so hard to save all these girls from this party, I got locked out and some were still inside. Some I'd gotten out, but some were still inside and I was banging on the door and I was like, I crumpled onto my knees and was just sobbing and screaming and like wailing in agony.
And just like, please.
Just so
and
helpless like, feeling.
Like, but literally the same exact dream.
Wow. I mean, that's wild. That's pretty crazy. I wonder what the symbolism of what occurred could mean, you know?
It was a couple days before the big moon announcement, just FYI.
All right.
Oh, interesting, which is very feminine as well. I mean, menstrual, moon cycle, very feminine. The moon is a feminine symbol. It's carrying water, which means it's carrying life.
Fertility,
that's very, you know,
like
a pregnant moon. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was crazy. You know,
it was so weird.
One of the more interesting things about lucid dreams. One of the more interesting things about lucid dreamers is two lucid dreamers can share dream space. So, you know, for those who don't know what that is, lucid dreaming is being aware that you're dreaming within a dream. And research has been done where two people will go into a lucid dream and meet in a shared dream space.
Right.
So people can share the same dreams and share that same space. Bryce, how it happened
to
you?
We got to do this project, year four project. We meet in a lucid dream.
Please do.
That would be dope.
It's
I'm thinking,
date.
You know, with your story, it rings to me. It's a date. I'll be there. It almost sounds like a precognitive warning, like something may happen in the future, something that you guys might be able to pick up on as in a cue. I don't know, maybe at a party somewhere down the future and you guys, I don't know.
I think it's also like a sign because like Lindsay and I often, like we like see things that like about like people and about like, you know, whatever that other people I feel like don't see.
Yeah.
And our private text thread is very messy.
It's very chaotic. It's got bad energy.
Really bad energy. It's very cursed. But like, I feel like that's like so emblematic of like that dream is so emblematic of like how we're always like, no, that's dangerous. I don't trust that.
Right.
I wonder.
That's,
I wonder if like your dialogue, even like you're beyond, I wonder if you guys are so synced up now that like you're not only just like synced in terms of your cycles, but also like your mental cycles as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
For sure.
We were both having,
now it's, you guys are so in sync that you will literally dream.
And
the
we
same
were both
thing.
Having yeah. like the worst periods of our life.
Yeah. Worst
like,
period of
in
my
terms
fucking life,
of
dude.
My mood.
I'm not laughing
it
at
was
you. I'm
just
this is
wild. No, it's like everything. The actual like experience of the
really
period
terrible.
Was like whatever it was a period. But my state of mind and mood was like I hit rock bottom.
Dangerous. Yes, same.
So strange. I mean, it's very phenomenal. I don't, you know, you don't hear about that often. It's strange that I think there was more to it.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you guys had that dream for a reason.
If someone told me
this,
I would think they were fucking lying.
I would think it was fake, but it was so spot on. I don't know. Anyway, we have to tell you because you guys are like the experts on this.
Yeah,
we're gonna file it away in the L files.
That's as good as any.
Become part of the stories that we collect now. if anyone else has had an experience like that, please write in to BigfootCollectorsClub@gmail.com and we'll let you guys know if anybody else has had that experience. All right, we got to go. But before we do, Lindsay Kelly, where can people find
you? People can find me on the internet at Lindsay Katai on Instagram or Twitter. I never use my Instagram anymore, though. Kelly?
You can find me on everything at Kelly Nugy. That's going to be on Twitch, Instagram, and Twitter. KellyNugy.
And of course, Teen Creeps comes out
every Wednesday.
Weekly. And
every Wednesday.
Hey, please check out the show I wrote for Infinity Train. It's on HBO Max. There are 3 seasons.
Oh, yeah. And if you like narrative horror, check out the podcast Exile. I wrote and performed and produced it.
Fantastic. Beautiful. So much good stuff to get us through the end of 2020. And do us a favor. Bryce, first of all, let's plug Dirty Picture Cover up before we go.
Yeah, sure. Check out my new game. It's going to be available this fall. Just go to the DPCUgame.com. I mean, the shipment arrives literally in 2 weeks. So I'll let you know through social media when you can actually place your order. Please do. It's so fun. I know you guys will have a blast playing it. Cannot wait for you guys to get one.
And please do us a favor. Go to Apple Podcasts. Give us a 5-star review. And if you do, we might read it on the air like this one that says, "Yay, 5 stars by It's Bergie, bitch. I wrote a nice, thoughtful review, but I don't know where it is. Hoping it'll get read, but I'm too lazy to write a whole new one. Great podcast. Love Bryce's voice. And Riley is definitely a Nordic." Well, me, I guess. All
yeah,
right.
Wow.
You got enough.
What are you, chopped liver?
He or she gave us a 5-star review, so that is enough for me. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to the show. You can subscribe to the our Patreon, The Other Side, at patreon.com/BigfootCollectorsClub. And I want to thank Lindsay and Kelly, of course, for being here. We'll have to do this again.
Thanks so much, guys.
Yeah,
so much fun. So you guys are a blast.
Wow, right back at you.
Great stories this week. Until next time, good night.
And if you want, go get regressed. Bigfoot Collectors Club is produced by Riley Bray. Our theme song is Come Alone by Sun Eaters, courtesy of Lotus Pool Records. If you like the show, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It really helps get the podcast to more listeners. To support the show, check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/BigfootCollectorsClub and unlock multiple reward episodes every month.
Hey, this is Eric Malinsky, host of the podcast Imaginary Worlds. Each episode, I explore different sci-fi fantasy genres, talking with filmmakers, novelists, game designers, cosplayers, comic book artists, and anyone who works in the field of make-believe. I also look at the fan experience, asking, why do we suspend our disbelief? You can subscribe to Imaginary Worlds wherever you get your podcasts.
In the 1970s, John Todd burst onto the evangelical scene with a shocking tale. He claimed to be a former witch, involved in a then-unheard-of secret organization called the Illuminati, and urged Christians to prepare for a violent world takeover.
First of all, the number one weapon in everybody's home should be a 12-gauge pump shotgun.
Hear the amazing story of one of the originators of the modern-day conspiracy theory. From Magnificent Noise and Sony Music Entertainment, this is Cover Up, the Conspiracy Tapes.